It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Saquon Barkley joins us. Nolan Smith and Cam Jurgens will join us as well, as it is Eagles Radiothon Day 1. Remember, you can see all of the items you can bid on at EaglesRadiothon.com. You can also get that special Eagles Radiothon t-shirt designed by Cooper DeGene and Reed Blankenship there for $30. Or you can just text to give. Text the word afternoon to 53209. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the difference of showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel online at Mark's-Jewelers.com. I'll tell you what, that is a poorly worded Twitter question, and we're not doing it anymore. So we're gonna have a new Twitter question before we do that. I'm very excited to talk to Larry Anderson. Larry's good to talk to when things are going well, but when things are going poorly, I feel like we get the straight truth from the guy who can tell it, and that is Larry Anderson. LA joins us now. LA, good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to hear from you. How you doing?
What's up, LA?
You know, we're doing fine as humans, doing better, have done better as Phillies fans previously.
Yeah. I probably would say I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's the this is a weird question, I guess. What's the deal with the Mets in Citi Field? Is it something they're doing? Is it something we're not doing? Like, what do you think is going on with how poorly the Phillies have played there over the last year?
I don't know if the Mets have gotten in the Phillies' head or heads. I really don't. I think the Mets obviously play better at home, much better at home
they do
than on the road. And I think it's kind of some of the things happen that we do at home here. We have late comebacks. We've won a lot of games in the last few innings. And I think it's something the Mets do. But for as good a team as we are to lose 9 straight there, that's unreal. I mean, it's been some tough breaks. I thought obviously, you guys know I get on the umpires, but I thought that guy last night was horrendous. And the thing that gets me more than anything than calling ball strikes balls more than that was the timeout that he called with Soto at the plate. And because if you watch, you go back and look when umpires and you watch any game, umpires stand straight up behind a catcher. You know, they might have their hands underneath or something, but once the pitcher starts his delivery, they get down in a squat, right? Mm-hmm. That's when they get ready. He got down in a squat, and it was probably 3 seconds or two or three seconds after he squatted down. So you know Luzardo's right in the middle of his delivery. It's not like he just started and stopped. He was in the middle of it, and he called timeout. That's just a blatant incompetence because it strictly states you can't do that. Why is he doing that? I don't know. I have no idea. But he gives Soto the timeout when he's in the middle of his delivery, and that's something that just you're on the mound. It's frustrating. You know the rules as a player. You know, obviously the umpire doesn't know the rules, or he's just incompetent, mm-hmm. and I would say probably both. But there's no excuse for that. And that drove me nuts last night because that affects the mindset, the psyche of the pitcher of Luzardo. I mean, you have to let things go. Thompson Robb says it, you know, I got to let it go, like you said. But, you know, the same guy did this stuff with Ranger and got Ranger frustrated and Ranger, you know, kind of blew up. You have to control those things. That's what Robb was saying. But when this is so blatant, it wasn't just the missed pitches, which he was terrible. You know, was it 3 pitches and 1 at bat?
Yeah. He basically threw 8 strikes to Soto in 1 at bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this clown can't get it right. I mean, but you know what? You know what's even worse than that? I bet you not a word is said to him. And I might lose the bet. But nothing more than that. Nothing happens. No accountability. And these guys, I mean, this guy made C.B. Buckner look like Doug Harvey, who called himself God. That's how good he thought he was, but he was good. But this, it's unbelievable that this guy actually has a job up here in the big leagues. When you look at that performance, and I don't care what anybody says about me getting on the umpires, I'm getting on him because that was absolutely horrendous.
I'll be honest with you. I used to think you were wrong with how much you got on umpires. I feel like it is worse than it has ever been this year. So much so, it is horrible. Balls and strikes, everything. I feel like they're worse than they've ever been.
Yeah, it's just it's unreal. I can't for the life of me understand how they get away with it. I mean, and I think Stocker said it a number of times, and Scott even brought it up on the air. It's like, you know, the umpires are making a case for the new ball strike system next year. They make the case for it. They've already done that this year. But you know, again, I do think the box just it sets these umpires up to get hooted on. But having said that, it still doesn't mean it doesn't get an excuse to miss so many calls when it's that blatant where it's in the strike zone. I just don't.
Well,
I don't get it.
Let me ask you this, to put you in the place of Lizardo last night.
Yeah.
Take away the timeout call, but when an umpire, to me it looked like Lizardo was hitting his spots and there were strikes. There were almost perfect pitches that he wasn't getting. When he can't get those calls, how much, aside from just not getting the call, how does it hurt Lizardo and JT from a strategy standpoint in the next pitch that you're going to throw?
It changes everything because if you get the call, if you get the calls right, then you can try and get a guy to chase a pitch. When they get it wrong, you have to give them their pitch. You can't, when you get behind and they're missing calls and you know they're strikes, but you go, I gotta throw it down the middle. Now, not necessarily throw it down the middle, but you gotta think to yourself, okay, I gotta throw this, you know, above the knees and the outer half or inner half. That's a big zone to throw to, but that's where you put it in the hitter's hands. You basically hand over leverage to the hitter, and you lose. You know when you get ahead, you've got the bargaining chip. You've got the leverage. You can get them to chase. You can throw a pitch or two, and try and get them to chase where they're. And then you know depending on what happens with those, you know then you make adjustments. But when you're not getting them, you just. You get to the point where you go, "What do you just want me to put it on a tee?" And I don't like players, you know, walking off the mound and hooting on the umpire. I didn't fault Lizardo for that last night. I really didn't. I think he lost control, but he battled. He did everything. He still kept making pitches, and he kept calling them balls. I mean, it's just. And things turn around. Instead of a 1-2-3 inning, how do you end up with the bases loaded when you had a 1-2-3 inning? And therein lies the frustration. And it's hard as a competitive, as an athlete, as a you're so competitive. You hold on to that, and then it just when it's taken away from you, it's like you just want to explode.
Right. So let me ask you this about the Phils sort of having this. What mental block against the Mets when you were playing, was there ever a team that you guys had that for one reason or another, you guys just couldn't solve and you found a way through it or do you ever remember something like that?
Not like that. They said going back to, I think they hadn't lost 9 straight in New York against the Mets since 84. And that was my first full year, you know, with the Phillies when I came over in the middle of 83.
Yep.
I don't really recall that. And usually if you have that stretch, it's really bad. I guess it was that bad, but I don't recall that, you know, having that in the mindset of going in there and like, you know, maybe we were getting blown out all the time, but you know, these guys they're playing some close games and then it blows up. And I don't know. I mean, individually, there was teams. Pittsburgh was a team where I just struggled when I went to what was Riverfront. Three Rivers.
Yeah.
And I struggled there, and it got to the point where I here we go in Pittsburgh, and I knew it whether they had a good team or a bad team. I don't know what it was, but as a team, you probably shouldn't have that kind of mindset. But of another team, especially, you know, when I was with the Mariners, it was like that against everybody, you know, we didn't win a whole lot of games no matter where we played.
Right.
But, But with this, this is one of the best teams in the National League in baseball. Yeah. And they go there and they can't beat that team that other teams are jumping all over. I mean, mm-hmm. other teams are beating them up. They go to New York, they beat them in New York. The fact that we can't do that, just to me, it just makes me think that maybe it's in guys' heads. I mean, and some of the things we do, we don't play good baseball there. For one thing, we don't make good plays. The rundown with Harp the first game, I mean, that's baseball 101 says you don't run a guy to the base he's going to. That's just a mental block right there. Or the only thing I can think of is maybe the runner was in a position where he didn't feel comfortable throwing earlier and wait until the last minute to throw. But I mean, that should not happen. The throw from center field from Bader last mm-hmm. night.
Man.
It's like he was throwing it to the upper deck.
Yeah, who was he throwing that to? Yeah.
I mean, and that's the kind of stuff, like, let me show my arm. This is stuff that Vladimir Guerrero, not Junior, but his dad, mm-hmm. used to do from right field until he kind of got things under control. But he started off out there, let me show my arm up. And he was airmailing the backstop regularly, mm-hmm. overthrowing guys because he wanted to show everybody his arm. Like, how about, what happened to hitting the cutoff man? Do they do that anymore? Do we practice relays anymore? Rundowns? It's just, we're not doing those things. When we go to New York, it's like we lose all sight of how to play baseball. Mm. And it's, I don't know, it's tough to watch. It really is. I don't know what the answer is. It's, you know, some people say, well, maybe they're trying to do too much. Well, I don't see that. You're not doing enough, is to me. Is what's happening.
Yeah, I would like them to do more.
Yeah.
Like, do it the right way. Yeah, right. Do more and do it the right way. And I think that would solve a lot of problems.
Well, they fought their way back into that thing last night,
yeah,
L.A. And that's a big home run from Bader to tie the game up. So then that brings me to something that has at least raised my antennas over the last four or five games, or his last three or four outings, is Duran being out there. Now, he gives up the four singles, which one of them ultimately led to the game-winning run. I'm saying just overall his last three or four outings. Are you seeing anything that anyone should be concerned with? He seems to be getting, not necessarily hit out the park, but at least he's pitching the contact. And I guess that's something I wasn't expecting. I thought he was a guy that would live more on strikeouts where he blows the ball past guys. Is there anything to be concerned about that?
Well, I think it's elevating pitches for him, to me. And now when I say elevated, like if he's throwing those pitches at the top of the strike zone, I don't think they're going to handle him. But when they're like, mid thigh to the belt in there. I mean, that's where they're getting their hits. He's supplying the power.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to swing hard. They can go up there and just almost in a sense, let me just try and flick this over here, or flick this here. It's because the pitches are very hittable. I think that's part of it. You know, hitters adjust. They can adjust to velocity. It's all about timing. Now, 102, 103 is a little tougher, but when you're getting those pitches in the middle of the plate, and I think that's where his pitches were last night, or I thought they were. He threw a lot of pitches like between the top of the thigh or the mid thigh to the belt. He threw a lot of pitches in there, and they're kind of splitting the plate. He's not on the edges. You know, that makes a big difference if he's on the outside corner, inside corner. And I'm not saying he needs to go out there and paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to do that at 102, but, you know, get an outer third, inner third, elevate, like, you know, top of the zone, throw some at the knees. When you change the eye level up and down and in and out, and on top of throwing 101 plus or, you know, 100, that's the big difference to me. That the last few games, he's throwing, his stuff is still there, but he's elevating those pitches to a point where it's very hittable, even at that velocity. And I don't think it's a major concern.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, you know, guys that throw that hard, it's like they just want to throw hard. And I think he needs to get back to, let me throw hard to a certain spot. And I think, you know, once that happens, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, when you think back to that Cal Raleigh strikeout, he was basically throwing the fastball high, which is impossible for those guys. If he's going to swing at that out of the zone, then it's good for Duran. But if those guys aren't going to bite on that, or if you can't get him to 0-2 and have him bite on that, then he needs to hit his spots better.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm saying, elevated, but elevated a little more instead of elevating it just above, you know, a little bit.
Yep. So, like, they look real good for, you know, look great in the Seattle series, look good enough in the National Series, have not looked good against the Mets. What is your faith level in the Phils sort of finding their way back to looking like a good functional baseball team in time?
I think there's no question.
Okay.
I have no concern with that. I think they got to get this bugaboo at Citi Field out of them. There's a chance you face them in the playoffs. And you could face them at home and away if it's not the first round. So they got to figure something out there. But I think overall they were so good in the Seattle series, and I thought they were okay against Washington, but not great. Washington plays them tough, and sometimes it doesn't matter. But to see what they did with Seattle, that's what they're capable of doing against anybody. But that, again, therein lies the consistency that I think has been a problem for a lot of ball clubs, and partly that includes the Phillies, you know, very volatile up and down with consistency.
All right, LA. Well, hopefully next week we're talking. It'll be the Brewers series next week when we're talking to you.
One,
so that's
a,
that's another big one. Hopefully we get a win out of at least get one out of Citi Field, get that division lead back up to six, and move on. Appreciate your time, man. Thank you, LA.
You got it.
There he
is. Take care, guys.
Yep.
Now, for years. Larry Anderson has been on the umpires for years, and every time he said,
"Well, what's so funny is that Scott Barry is a part of this crew."
Yeah.
And Scott Barry's the infamous one that threw Ryan Howard out in 2010.
Yeah.
Which is one of the original LA, like,
guys that he hates.
Told him, get out of here.
Yeah.
Now Scott Barry, you know, on this crew, he might be the best one.
Yeah. Do you agree that they've gotten worse?
I don't know. I think they've just been bad. Like, I just think they're just bad. I mean, I think it's been interesting how I think they went into that game yesterday in the pitching meeting and said, this guy's got a tight zone. So maybe that was very. Lizardo's mind, because he was the guy that Ranger walked down the mound and was trying to show him the strike zone.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, I'm thinking, like, look, first of all,
happened in Washington?
Yes.
Is that who I was thinking about?
No, it was in Cincinnati. It was in Cincinnati.
Yes. Okay.
I don't think anybody blew up in Washington.
It was in Cincinnati.
Well, Lizardo had he went pitched into the seventh. They let him out there one inning too long. That's where he walked the guy and hit a guy.
Oh, right.
And then he went to Kirkland. Kirkland.
James.
Yeah, come on, man.
In my head.
Well, there's too many of them.
Yeah.
Come on, let's be honest. Not enough.
And then when you got all the teams that play in the same red and white colors.
Yeah, what are we talking about here? And then we got our guys wearing the other team's colors. We don't know what teams were playing at all.
3-for-5 last night.
Yeah, look, relax. First of all, I didn't realize that in the ABS system. So next year with the umpires, most likely, what they're doing in the minor leagues this year is the batter can challenge a ball or strike call. I didn't realize the pitcher can also challenge it.
Yes.
So we need that, and I'm.
I thought you were anti in spring, right? Or you?
No, I'm fine with ABS. It was anti robo umps. I'm good with robo umps. I'm good.
Well, ABS, I'm in on. Well, but I guess you want to get every call right. But I do like the minor strategy of. Using challenges too early or not using challenges early.
Well, the thing I've just realized, and I think the reason the umpires have always been bad and the reason that we're realizing it now is the box on the screen. Like, the box on the screen gives us perspective we didn't have before. And when you think about where the umpire is in a crouch with a mask over his face behind the catcher. It just seems like he is in the absolute worst position to call a ball or a strike. You should put the umpire behind the pitcher.
No, man.
That's where the umpire should be.
That's little league, bro.
Well, that's where the ump should be.
Well, what happens if the ball gets smoked right back at the pitcher?
Well, whatever. We'll get another ump. There's tons of them. You're telling me you can't get another ump if one of them gets smoked?
I'm sure we could. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we've outgrown the umpire behind the catcher. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. Do robo umps. It doesn't make any sense.
Baseball.
Yeah. I understand. It just doesn't... It's driving me crazy. It's driving
tell.
Me insane.
I
yeah.
can tell.
Yeah.
Just like watching these games. Like you're starting to get October intensity.
Yeah. Already, man. Yes.
Oh, dude, I'm riled up. I'm riled up.
I was fired. So what I realized about living in the burbs now.
Yeah.
I could yell pretty much as loud as I want.
Oh, yeah. There's like, nobody around. Oh, yeah.
There was
yeah.
no one. Like, I was like, you know, yeah. in Westchester, I'd be causing a scene.
You act like Westchester's not the suburbs. It's so funny.
Well, hold on. I mean like, the borough.
Yes.
You know, I live, like, in a townhouse in the borough.
Yeah, the big town, the big in the, lights in the big of Westchester. City.
Oh, no. Are you in a development now? Are
oh,
you in a,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So he's in a development
yeah,
now.
Yeah, real suburbs. Yeah. Pleasantville. You're in Pleasantville.
Pleasantville.
I don't know what that means.
That was a movie.
It was a movie.
I thought that was this Superman?
No.
It was actually a movie called Pleasantville.
It was a movie called Pleasantville, buddy. Yeah.
And what was the premise of it?
It was about, like, it was like there were these kids woke up in a black and white TV show in the suburbs. Just sort of in this sort of suburban, like a TV version of the suburbs.
Yes.
Which kind is of what a development
kind
is.
Of the neighborhood.
Yeah. 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 It's good. Look at you. You've really grown up. You've really grown up.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're picking up the check at dinner next time, is what I heard. I see. So coming up next, Flyers and 50 with Broads will be coming up. Ryan from the Eagles Autism Foundation will join us as well to give us an update on all the fundraising, where your money goes, and all of the great items available, including having the WIP afternoon show broadcast
Come on.
Your business.
Come on.
EaglesRadiothon.com. We have to raise more money than anybody else. How about this? Get your hair cut at the Eagles Barber with Jordan Mailata.
How about that?
I was thinking of bidding on that one.
Yeah.
Though I think Nafis might get mad at me, but it's for a good cause.
For a good cause.
Yeah, you can cheat on your barber for a good
for
cause.
For a good cause.
Right. So you can do that or just buy the t-shirt designed by Cooper DeGene and Reed Blankenship. That is EaglesRadiothon.com. 215-592-9494. By the way, Saquon Barkley joining us at 4 o'clock. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, Cam Jurgens and Nolan Smith. I don't mean to make them sound secondary, but Saquon joins us at 4. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.